Amen. Amen and amen. It was beautiful. If you could please kneel. We've had a few more people join us, and so let's pray again for the sermon. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for blessing us with your presence on this Sabbath day. Thank you so much for bridling my tongue and any tongue that may speak, including in the text chats, especially on the stream, because there's not an easy way to turn the thing off and stuff like that. But anyway, thank you, Father, for blessing us and keeping us in these last days with a strong hedge of angels around us. And so as we go into your word, we have a better understanding as to what we're looking at. And thank you for opening it up as well in the last few years for many of us. As we're getting closer and closer to the end, we need more and more inside information, and we thank you the way you're doing it. Please continue to bless us. Please bless this Sabbath. Thank you for giving us a changing of the showbread and giving us that which we need, especially in these days with these so-called holidays, so that we can go forth and share the truth with many, with love in our hearts. No anger, no frowns, nothing, just love. And we offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, our Savior and King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay. Part two is Christmas Christian. So, I'm going to start this one off with something that I've noticed even as a child. I thought something was a little off. But think about this for a moment. Billions. Literally billions of parents all over the world have been telling lies to their children since the birth about, you know, since their birth about a fat man in a red suit that comes down a chimney to place gifts underneath the tree. And by the way, I just noticed something too in the stream, because now that they repaired the control panel of the area that I'm using to make the stream, I could shut the text off in the stream, but I gotta go in there live dashboard. Yeah, I could shut the text chat off. So If we have another visit from somebody that's, you know, angry, let me know and I'll just shut the text off until we're done, okay? So that's to prevent all that. Or if the mods, you know, just, you know, if you want that, it's up to you if you want me to shut off. Because we usually shut off the text chat to prevent any kind of temptation in the conference room at remnantofgod.org. And for those of you that want to be able to put in your prayer requests and stuff like that, I noticed a sister in the faith was asking if she, I think it was a woman, I think it was a sister, asking if she could put the prayer requests in, and I think Brother Gilbert was telling her that the Lord sees it anyway. And so if you came into the conference room, yeah, you could type everything you want in there, and you know, we'll all see it. And so, amen, Sister Chloe, will do. But getting back. Billions of parents are telling everybody about Santa Claus, right? Some fat guy in a red suit. Now, guess what happens when the child finally comes of age? Because kids have a funny way of doing that, you know, growing up. We were all kids once, right? And so the child realizes one fateful day that mommy and daddy have been lying to him the whole time. And not only that, this child realizes that it worked. He actually realizes that his parents lied to him, and he knows in his own little heart that he believed them hook, line, and sinker. So now he has concrete evidence that lying is a resourceful tool that he can use to his advantage for the rest of his life. And his very own parents were the ones that introduced that lying to him. And if you look at the media, and even local governments, wherein they have statues of Santa Claus all over the place, waving at people, you know, the robotic ones we got out there now, and the weatherman. I remember this even as a kid. The weatherman, each year, tells the children on national TV that he's tracking Santa Claus on satellite, and he's about to be on their roof very soon. My dad used to bang on the heat ducts in the furnace. And we'd all run upstairs. Oh, he's landing on the roof, let's get upstairs, you know. Raised in a Catholic household, that's the norm. Even the government schools get into this. In fact, Check this out. My son Luke got in trouble one day when he was about 6 or 7 years old. I don't remember exactly how old he was when his teacher asked him if he believed in Santa Claus. We were living in the 1,011-day house at the time, so he was really, really young at the time. When he said no, he does not believe in Santa Claus, we got a call from the school that, was sent home with a note or something. I can't remember exactly how it all went down, how they contacted us, but they said he needed special ed. Seriously, they said he needed special ed because he wasn't handling reality too well. When I asked what they meant, they said that he didn't believe in Santa. And after I got done laughing, I told them that he didn't believe in Santa Claus because as Christian parents, we do not want to lie to our children, or worse yet, teach them how to lie. And they never bothered us again on that. But think about that. This is how this world is. These teachers, these are people teaching children, actually believe there's something wrong with the kid if they don't believe in Santa Claus, which they know he doesn't really exist. Sickening. It's just so sickening. But notice this, right there in the top of the notes there. I just put the Bible references in here. If you want to look this up, I misspelled Zechariah. I just noticed. And so I'll fix it later, maybe. I don't know. But notice how Santa Claus mocks, blasphemes, and tries to emulate Jesus Christ in a belittling fashion. Okay? Number one, I've got 20 points here, but I think the Babylonian thing is where I go into more detail, and I don't put it all here because it'll just take too long, but I'm going to share just 20 points really quick. And you see the Bible verses right there in the room if you're on the stream. And if you're in the room, you just scroll up and you'll see them. They're all right there. And I am going to read one of the verses, the last one, in Zechariah chapter 2, verse 6, if Sean wants to wait and put it in the room at that time. Don't anybody cheat yet, because this, you know, don't steal my thunder. Because this is amazing how they try to do this, to try to take away from our Lord, our Savior, our King. They're taking a lot of the descriptions of how Jesus looked in the Bible, even at the second coming. Even at the second coming is how he looks at the second coming. And they attributed it to Santa Claus. And then on top of all that, they make him stand in a very unhealthy body. You know, he's a glutton. Number one, he has hair. This is Santa Claus. He has hair like white wool. And if you look in Revelation 1:14 or Daniel 7:9, Jesus Christ does too in these visions that they received, including what happens at the second coming. Santa Claus has a beard curly and white. Well, so does Jesus in Isaiah 50, verse 6 and Revelation 1:14 again. Santa Claus comes from the North Pole. Well, look at Ezekiel 1:4. Exodus 26:35 and Psalm 48:2. Surprised I didn't put in Job about the eyes of the north. But anyway, and number four, Santa Claus is omniscient. He knows about all. Well, Revelation 19:6 is pretty plain as well in regards to Christ. Santa Claus is ageless. He's eternal. Ever since I was a kid, this guy looked like he's in his mid-60s. Right? He's still in his mid-60s. I'm in my mid-60s now. This guy doesn't age, right? Well, look at Revelation 1, verse 8, Revelation 21, verse 6, or Hebrews 13, 8. Christ is ageless. Number 6, Santa Claus makes a list of judgments, you know, the naughty or nice list. Remember that as a kid? Well, Revelation 20, verse 12, Revelation 14, 7, Revelation 21, 27, and 2 Corinthians 5, 10. Could have gone on from there, but that's enough. Or how about number 7? Santa Claus, he's going to check his list twice. Well, Daniel 8:14, Matthew 10:26, and 1 Corinthians 5:10. Could be 2 Corinthians 5:10. I don't know. Maybe it could be a typo. And then number 8, Santa Claus gives gifts on the basis of that list. Well, Jesus Christ does as well. Matthew 25:21, Revelation 21:27, and Revelation 22:14. And we can't forget that, how he brings his reward with him, right? It's amazing. Oh, thank you, Gospel Lore. That's the link you need for all these verses and stuff. Christmas, okay, number 9, Christmas rewards once yearly. Well, we just got out of Leviticus 23, but go back into verses 26 to 32 and you'll see. Yeah, the feast days, the atonement, you know, Day of Atonement, all happens once a year. Number 10, confess your wrongs to Santa. Well, 1 John 2:1 and 1 Timothy 2:5. Promise to be better next year to Santa. John 14:15 and 21. John 15:10 and 1 John 2:3. Santa asks children to obey their parents. Well, so does your Lord in commandment number 5, but Ephesians 6:1, Proverbs 6:20 and Colossians 3:20. And here's another. This one really irked me. Was the hour of his coming is a mystery. Right? He comes like a thief in the night, right? Well, you know, it's not like we had a punch of time clock and we, like when you were little kids, you got up in the morning, the gifts were just there. We didn't catch when he came. But his coming is a mystery. Well, so is the return of Christ, Luke 12:40, Mark 13:33, and Matthew 24:36. No man knows the day or the hour. Well, this side of the plagues, anyway. And so, number 14, Rudolph's shining nose to guide. When you get a chance, check out Matthew 2, verses 2 to 7, 9 to 10, and Numbers 24, 17. Santa Claus calls all children to his need. So does Christ in Matthew 19:14, Luke 18:16. Santa Claus says, be good for goodness sake. So does Jesus in Matthew 19:17, Colossians 1:29, and Philippians 2:13. Santa Claus has a twinkle in his eye, Revelation 1:14 and Revelation 2:18. Santa Claus is swift to visit the whole world in one day. That's another one that irked me, because that's just overwhelmingly trying to emulate and belittle Jesus Christ in the second coming. That all happens on one day, 2 Peter 3:8, Revelation 18:8, Isaiah 47:9. Santa Claus is omnipresent. He's found in every mall. Look at Psalm 139, 7 to 10, Ephesians 4:6, and then Brother Sean put in Zechariah 2 verse 6 in the room, and somebody put it into the because a lot of people don't believe me on this one. That's why I want to put this literal verse in the thank you, Brother Sean. Alright, Santa Claus says ho ho ho, right? Doesn't he always say that? Ho ho ho. Why is he doing that? What on earth does that mean? Look at Zechariah 2 verse 6. It says ho ho, come forth and flee from the land of the north, saith the Lord, for I have spared you abroad as the four winds of the heavens, saith the Lord. It's amazing, ain't it? You know, I also have a table on the website that is 53 points deep on my Christmas page showing how the pagans worshiped their God using historic record and, well, I use the, you know, historic record, and how the Vatican copied their unbiblical rituals for Catholicism point by point. I mean, they didn't miss a lick. I'm only going to share 8, and if you scroll up, that ain't going to work over there. It's YouTube. Let me scroll up over here. There you go. All right, so I'm only going to share 8 out of the 53 that deal directly with Christmas, as I could go on for hours and hours on this topic alone. Because, you know, I mean, they got stuff in there for Easter, they got stuff in there for Valentine's Day, they got all sorts of stuff that the pagans have been doing for thousands of years to glorify Satan, period. This is all it's for. But again, I'm only going to share 8. You would be surprised, by the way, how much paganism was embraced by the Jews, and then later on by the popes. You know, I also made a flash animation years ago. It's in box 7, by the way. That's the first link I had to repair this morning. Thanks again, Brother Joe. And so, let's see. Oh, here's the link. Right, I think I got the link. Did I? Oh, no. I didn't put the link in there for the... oh, but I did. Anyway, well, maybe I did on there in box 7. Let me just see. Yeah, the Beholder Babylon in Depth. Yeah, that's link number... That's item number 2 in the notes there. And if you want the notes, you can get them by going to the top there. You see... For those of you that are just joining us, because we got a bunch of new people here, the link is up there on the top where you can get these notes, or just ask somebody in the stream or in the chat room. Well, the chat room, you just scroll underneath the chat room and you'll see it. But let me get these right where they should be. Okay. The Nativity of the Sun, the birth of Tammuz, was on December 25th. Okay? That's just pagan history. The Nativity of Jesus Christ, according to the Catholic theists, okay, this is not according to Scripture. As we all know, Jesus Christ was not born in winter. But anyway, the Nativity of Jesus Christ, according to the Catholic Church, is December 25th. Then you have the Midsummer Festival held on June 24th. They call it the Nativity of St. John in the Catholic Church. And it is June 24th. They have 40 days of fasting for Tammuz. It's in Ezekiel 8:14. They literally are exposed, hands down, in Ezekiel. And you'll see other verses that expose them too. Well, the Catholics still embrace it. And now the Seventh-day Adventists embrace it. 40 days of Lent. There's a video. Look up SDA Lent or something on YouTube. And it's the most somber, wicked, and creepy-looking video I've ever seen. And it looks like a bunch of, because I used to hang with witches, and so this, it looked like they were having some kind of a coven or some kind of a preamble to a coven, to where when you see the video, it's very dimly lit. There's purple walls. Everything is like all these colors and stuff and these candles. And it was a Seventh-day Adventist Lenten gathering in a church, a Seventh-day Adventist church. Well, it's actually a duplicate of what you'll see in a Catholic church. And even some Catholic churches don't go that far off into paganism. You know, because I was raised Catholic, and I went to Catholic churches up until I was 29. And I've never, I mean, some churches just put a purple robe on a cross. They put some, like, a big, they go to Joann Fabrics or something, and they get this long purple bolt of cloth, and they just drape it across the cross. And it's got to be purple. And so that's one of the reasons for the purple color in the video. I'm thinking, but I should have put that link. As a matter of fact, maybe I'll dig it up later and stick it in here with that Babylon page here. Anyway, now keep in mind, look at the numbers here. I got 1, 2, 6, 9, 13, 18, 31, and 45. This is not in order in that 53 thing deep, but these are just 8 points that I pulled out of it that literally go, you know, speak of Christmas. So anyway, you got the veneration of graven images of Baal, Ishtar, Tammuz, and lesser gods in the heavens. That's what the, you know, pagans have been doing. They still do it to this day, especially the neo-pagans. And in the Catholic Church, you got the veneration of graven images of Jesus, Mary, Peter, and of the lesser saints in the heavens. They call them the lesser saints. Then you have the pagans have always done the burning of the incense and the candles in Jeremiah 11:17, and again Ezekiel chapter 8, but this time verse 11. Jeremiah and Ezekiel were more or less at the same time. One of them was in the city, the other one was over in Babylonian captivity. So, but the burning of the incense and the candles in the Catholic Church is, even if you're not a Catholic, you know how they do that, and they swing that. I can't remember the name of that thing with the incense was in it, but they would swing it. And for the most part, they would use sandalwood, just like the pagan witch. They use the sandalwood for conjuring. So anyway, 18 out of these lists. A painting of the child of Tammuz and the mother Semiramis with the glory of the sun around their heads. This is ancient paintings of Tammuz and his mother. And she was, you know, like, he's an infant, she's holding him, and they both got halos around their heads because halos represent Baal. Sun god. That's the reason for the round shape, and that's the reason that, you know, the Catholic monks will shave the top of their head in a round pattern so that, number one, the top of their head looks like the moon or the sun when the sun reflects off of it if they got an oily head. And then they also cut the corners of their beard. Some people think just trimming your beard means that, but no, that's not what it means. The cutting the corner of the beards means they shave the top of the head, and then they shave the temples. And they leave a ring of hair all the way around. This is a monk that doesn't have male pattern baldness, let's say. He has a perfect ring of hair all the way around his head, like a halo, to represent Baal. That's why they do that. That's why they shave their head like that. Well, in the Catholic Church, you got the paintings of the child of Jesus and the Mary and Mother Mary with halos or of the sun around their heads. They'll even go so far as to do that Yannick Phallic thing. Baal, literally put them behind their heads. And then, let's see, this next one here is the pagans use a phallic symbol of the male placed on roofs or in their homes as a sign of allegiance unto Baal, and especially when Semiramis made it law because Tammuz was murdered and they chopped his body up and there was a certain part of his body they were never able to find, and so they says, put that part on your roof. That's how vulgar this is. And put that part on your roof or bring a tree into the house to acknowledge it, or use the Yuletide log, and you got to represent her son's missing part so that you can put them all together on his birthday. And so, but the largest phallic symbol in the center used to be the largest phallic symbol on the planet until the Washington, D.C. was literally taken over by, as prophecy said they would be, by the Vatican. And so, but the largest phallic symbol, what we call the Washington Monument here in the United States, but in Rome, it's just that big old phallic symbol in St. Peter's Square, as well as every steeple on all Catholic churches and SDA churches now. All the Protestant churches do it too. And then the final one I'm going to share is the pine tree cones, used to represent the deity of a solar god, Osiris, Bacchus, Dionysus, as well as Mexican gods like Hindu gods and Assyrian gods. And the pine tree is obvious because of the, you know, the, every green tree they would worship underneath, so the pine cone is very, very important to them. Well, you got the largest pine skull, pine cone sculpture on the planet in the court of the pine cone at the Vatican. The pine cone is also found carved in the crooked pagan staff, you know, the serpent crozier of the popes of Rome that I put in some of my videos. You know, it's the artist made that. That image of, like, it's a bent cross, it's all chippy, you know, chipped up around the edges, and Jesus is all deformed and chipped up and stuff, and he's got long, scraggly arms and legs, and he's hanging there on the cross dead, and the whole thing's kind of like bowing forward. The guy that created it titled it Antichrist, and ever since then, John Paul II used it first, and then Ratzinger, well, Benedict, and then now Francis uses it. And so they've been proudly carrying that pagan symbol, you know, with the bent cross, as well as the fact that it sits. If you notice, look very closely at the crozier. It's in three or four of my videos. Zoom in on, or just go to my flash animation. You'll zoom in on it, and at the base, there's a pine cone, and that's what it's resting on top of. You know, because the branches are from a pine tree, too. So it's all about, you know, worshiping the sun, the moon, and the stars. All right, so now, this next part that I'm going to share is I'm going to go into some pretty good detail on it, and I'm going to close with this, but it's going to take me a while to go into this because it's just plain insane how bad this has gotten. And we, in these last days, when I shared this maybe 20, 30 years ago, the first time, this is what actually got me disowned. But you know, when I shared this, people were laughing, because back then homosexual marriage wasn't, you know, legal and all these other strange things. But what I'm about to share may shock some of you right now. But notice this. And I came across this many years ago. As I continue to dig into, when time permits, I found even more, you know, to share on the, I'll just stick it on this page. This page has gotten huge. When I first handed it to my, or mailed it to my loved ones, it was only 12 pages. I think it's over 40 now. And that was 32, 33. It's like 2 or 3 years after I left the Catholic Church, I mailed it to them. And so, but being in the age of lying, wherein men can declare themselves women and women can declare themselves men, when you see what Rome did with Santa Claus centuries ago, shows how closely they work with Satan. This is going to shock some of you. The popes could not have known how well this was all going to work out for the enemy of souls in the last days, but Satan did. And so what they invented centuries ago has become the norm today. When I first shared this, like I said, a couple of decades ago, people laughed. But now with the transgender movement being normalized, most can see why Satan used the Vatican to push this thing even way back then. And some of you are very aware in Latin. I'm going to start with this. In Latin, as well as in Spanish, the term San, you know, S-A-N, is always used before the names of male saints in the Catholic Church, if you want to call them that. You know, so-called saints like San Juan or San Luis Obispo, or and yes, even San Diego. But the term Santa is only used before the names of female saints in Roman Catholicism, you know, like Santa Maria, Santa Ana, Santa Lucia. You getting my drift here? I mean, and so this means that Santa Claus is one of two things. He is either a transgender female dressing up as a man, beard and all, because they'll always like to go overboard with it. Have you ever noticed that when a woman, you know, does that sex change thing, she makes sure that she gets a full beard? And keep in mind, making Santa fat allows for the female form to be well camouflaged buy all the extra clothing that's needed to make Santa fat and jolly? Or is it that Santa Claus is actually a homosexual man using the name of a woman, as so many do to this day, that claim to be a woman trapped in a man's body? Again, 20 years ago, they laughed out loud when I said this. Today, yeah, they could see how the demons that were very alive centuries ago are the exact same demons pushing this all today. It's amazing, ain't it? That fact alone may make some realize what time it is and prepare for the coming of the Lord. But one more thing needs to be addressed here for better clarity in all this. It has to do with the fact that since historic record confirms Santa Claus's half-pagan sun god Woden and half-so-called Saint Nicholas, of which Rome forced back into American society after their prophesied wound started to heal in 1929, we all know that the Roman Catholic priesthood, which was recently outed in Italy in a mainstream magazine as being 98% homosexual, these are the prelates in Rome, the guys that are running the Vatican. This is the reason they own homosexual brothels walking distance from the Vatican. And so is it any wonder that they would purposely confuse the sexes in the fabrication of Santa Claus in the same way they confuse Christianity by mixing it with paganism to build on the fabrication of Catholicism? And I mean, after all, is not the term Babylon and prophecy defined as something as to mix truth with error? And so it's perfectly natural for the pagan high day of worship, which is called the winter solstice or Saturnalia or Brumalia, or just plain Christmas to those that will trust the mixture, this so-called holiday was designed and destined to be uplifted on a global scale by Satan, who knows his time is short. And right before the end, when Satan was prophesied to push homosexuality worldwide as he did in Noah's day, what we see happening now is fulfillment on a grand scale. It's Satan's last hurrah. What I mean is, the final prophecy of our day matches the one of Noah's day when it comes to how homosexuality was uplifted worldwide as the norm, hence the reason for the global flood. Jesus confirms this in Luke chapter 17, in fact. Let me scroll down. Let me get you all the verses on screen there. All right. Luke 17, verses 26 and 27 says this, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all." As we know, Jesus never wastes his words or minces them. There is a reason he repeats how marriage is going to be seen in the last days here. Many people think he's just repeating himself for effect when he said they married wives, they were given in marriage. But the fact is, he's speaking about two different marriages here. When he says they married wives, he's speaking about everyday run-of-the-mill normal marriage between a man and a woman. And when he says they were given in marriage, he's speaking about abnormal marriage. And we all know about how abnormal marriage has been in our day. Everything from the same-sex marriages to men marrying their computers because of the porn on them. I kid you not, I put an article about that on my site three years ago. There's even a woman that married a carnival ride in America not too long ago. And so why does Satan attack marriage? Well, for the same reason he attacks the Seventh-day Sabbath, both sacraments. And no, that's not a Catholic word. Sacrament is a biblical word. But both sacraments were sanctified in the Garden of Eden. This is also why the demons possessing these poor souls in the LGBTQ community are always moved to wave the rainbow flag as a mockery unto the God of the Bible, who put the rainbow in the clouds in Noah's day for the very first time as a sign. No, I'm not saying the homosexual knows about the real reason for that rainbow Satan has them, been forcing them to wave around. They have no clue. I mean, they don't read Bibles. But again, Satan and the demons that possess the people will not die until the end of the 1,000 years. They were alive in Noah's day, and they're alive today. Same demon. The guys, like the people that attack us on a regular basis to try to slow down the work. That's the demon of Sanballat. When Nehemiah was trying to rebuild the wall, he's throwing bogus stones in there to try to slow down the work. Well, that's what they do to us. Same exact demon, but different people doing it now. That's the reason Barry Manilow wrote the words to that one song in the way he did about being young again, even though I'm very old. He likes to go in your heart. It was Satan's lyrics, obviously, but the way it was written, it shows that he likes to possess people because it makes them feel strong and young again. You know, Satan and all his demon cohorts know exactly what that rainbow means, as they were there the very day the flood killed all their subjects. They saw that rainbow placed in the clouds after all those people they possessed drowned, and they know exactly how close they are to the end as we speak. The demons wave that flag in our Father's face in the same way they wave the NIV or other bogus Bibles. They boldly declare how easily they control the very people they were created in the image of God. You know, that were created in the image of God. For them to do such vulgar acts makes them soil the image of the Creator because they're made in the image of God, and so that flag is just a cherry on top of their bold and blasphemous vulgarities. And so it's no wonder. I mean, something as trivial as Santa being a homosexual cross-dresser may seem insignificant and laughable just a few decades ago, but now it's seen as absolute truth. And get this, I couldn't believe this when I came across this, and I came across this years ago, but I like to repeat this stuff because it's, wow. As I was going through my news articles, looking for something to post on the blog or make a video of years ago, it was on a Wednesday morning of all days, you know, Wednesday actually being the day of the week named after the pagan god Woden, or Woden's Day, where Santa Claus has originated after the Pope mixed him with the so-called patron saint. I came across a video from The View online of Whoopi Goldberg commenting on something she was wearing or promoting on camera. I don't recall which. I know she commented on something. It had to do with Santa Claus. When she was done, she made a comment saying, and I am not kidding at all here. She actually said this on camera. She actually said that we all, and I'm word for word, she goes, we all know that Santa Claus is actually a woman, right? And no one on the panel said anything to the contrary, which shows me this is now confirmed to have been planned as something to run with all along. I mean, hence the reason I did a video back on December 20th, 2017 that titled CNN Promotes Santa's Husband. Ah, this is back in 2017. Check it out. I got a video. It's in box number 7. Yeah, Christian, number 4. No, wait, no, number 3. CNN promotes Santa's husband, right there. All right, yeah, we'll leave it up there. And just the previous Monday of that week that I was working on this article came out in another article titled, It Begins, Gender Busting, Santa on Display at New Zealand Mall, wherein they are finally taking advantage of the fact that Santa is in fact transgender. And get this. A Christian man was arrested in Claiborne, Texas, for repeatedly telling little children that Santa wasn't really a person. He wasn't real. And he was telling this to these children that were coming out or gathering at the Presbyterian church. They arrested him for that. The government now protects churches that protect Santa, who is boldly marching with his rainbow flag against Jesus Christ. And the news video had the Presbyterian pastor and some of the members on camera defending Satan, or Santa, well, not much of a distinction, just move the end to the end. But Santa, they were defending him in a big way for the little kids that may be watching. They kept saying, oh, little kids, don't believe that, man. You know, they were giving the kids, and the kids are going to fall for it, right? Because mommy and daddy are saying it, and they're the only ones they trust because it's the only ones that are teaching them. And so everyone played along as if it was perfectly acceptable to tell their precious little children that the Christian man was crazy and Santa Claus was real. That Christian man was asking the parents if they were going to teach their children about Jesus instead of lying to them about Santa. Unbelievable how sad this world has gotten. So they arrested him. He actually showed more love for those children than their own parents did. And one final point that nails this all down. And again, I did not cover anywhere near as much as I have on my Christmas is Pagan page or Is Christmas Christian page on the website. And I can't. There's just way too much on there now. As we know, Satan hates the Creator, and so he mocks him at every chance he gets. Well, that being the case, that means it's par for the course for those that worship him to do such things as we have seen done with Christmas or even with the Sabbath day, of which he also changed to the pagan day of the sun, as the pagans still call it to this day. That's right, sun day, like moon day, and then Tuesday, and then, Woden's day, Thor's day, Friday day, and Saturn day. There's all pagan names for our days of the week. The Bible only one day had an actual name, was Sabbath. That was it. Every other day was numbered. Or, well, some people would call Friday a day of preparation, but it's still. But Sunday is now how it's just how they call it. I mean, it's actually called a day, a work day. Sunday is a day of work in, your 9-to-5 job day. Ezekiel 46 verse 1 says, "Thus saith the Lord God, the gate of the inner court that looketh toward the east shall be shut the 6 working days. But on the Sabbath it shall be opened, and in the day of the new moon it shall be opened." Well, because of the feast days, because the annual feast days were, Sabbaths. Leviticus 23 verses 23-38 talks about that. Oops, sorry. That was loud. And then, of course, we also have Exodus 20, verse 9. Out of the fourth commandment, it says, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But notice this final point, and I'll close with this expose on Christmas with this one point. And I'm going to read a very short transcript, very short, from a radio show that was broadcast on December 23rd, 1999. Notice how the blinded mindset of the Catholic Church is in how it allows for what the author says so as to make sense in the minds of many of the people that are listening in, as to make it feel to like it's an acceptable turn of events. The prophet Daniel did say the beast of Rome was going to be crafty, and so he is. This is what they said on camera, on the radio. It says, referring to Rorate, which is the nativity, the Catholic Church calls it the nativity, a little baby in a manger thing. A traditional Scottish melody featured on her recent Christmas album, American Scottish fiddler Bonnie Rideout described the lyrics in a way that really captures the essence of Christmas, namely syncretism. And I looked up syncretism for those that don't know what it means, and it actually means reconciliation or fusion or differing systems of belief, as in philosophy or religion, especially when success is partial or the result is heterogeneous. And that's from thefreedictionary.com. But continuing on in this article, this statement that was made on the radio, National Public Radio, 12/23/99, Bonnie Rideout said, "It's all about the birth of the Son, meaning S-O-N, the Christ child." And then the lyrics continue to talk about the earth and the sea and the birth of the Son, S-U-N, meaning the winter solstice. The Son is coming back, and with the return of the Son comes new hope. Because that's how pagans believe. The days will start getting longer on the 23rd or 25th of December. It depends on where we're at. The Gregorian calendar is a mess. I mean, if the Jewish calendar is right on, 30 days a month, so... So it's around the 23rd, 25th of the solstice. But she goes on to say that, comes new hope after the return of the Son, because, we're going to get our crops now, right? So, but going on, she says, but in the Christian sense, the birth of the Son, S-O-N, meaning the Christ child, is the bringing of new hope for Christians. So there is this sort of nice interplay with the Christian and the pagan beliefs coming together and sort of meaning the same thing. I mean, I want 100% Christianity, not just a little bit of it, right? But this is how they are in today's world. Jesus coming together and sort of meaning the same thing, which is the rebirth of the Spirit. It's a very special, it's a very uplifting feeling, she says. And yes, this is why the Beatles wrote that song that says, "Here comes the sun," in their heyday. They were very heavy into pagan and Middle Eastern theology. And if you saw the video someone made on the Beatles tune, I think it's a cover video or something like that, they literally have, because I looked it up, they literally have many pictures of the Beatles in the 60s and 70s when they were out there getting worshipped by everybody. And these pictures are floating on the screen as you're watching this, and they float to a place towards the end of, I think it's behind a couch or something like that. And they start forming like it's a sun rising, and it's just all these pictures, they get like a glow, like a goldish tint to them, and they end up at the end of the video, it's just a big, looks like a big ball of fire made out of these pictures of the Beatles. And just so you know, many people applauded the woman that said what she said on the radio with ecumenical joy and felt it was all perfectly acceptable when explained in the crafty manner she was moved to do it. But what does our Bible say, brothers and sisters? This is where the rubber hits the road for us. We're Christians. We are Christians. 1 Kings 18:21. It says, "And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And we all know what happened next, right? God was glorified in a day that's been irking Satan ever since. And this is why the prophecy says he'll bring fire down in the presence of mankind and before the eyes of man. He'll bring fire down as one of his final miracles to gather a lot of people in these last days. Because of what happened in Elijah's day when the fire came down and licked up all the water and even the moats. It was just amazing. God really showed his hand there before the people to let them know, look, Baal ain't God. Because the Baal worshippers are out there cutting themselves, screaming and yelling all night long, trying to get the God to send fire from heaven to burn up their offering. Elijah got up there, said a few words, bam, it's all gone. Obliterated by the fire from heaven. That's irked Satan ever since. He's always wanted to do that. Because that will make the people believe, he thinks. And then Deuteronomy 12, verses 29 to 32 says this. I got to share this one because this is just really puts it out there. If you're really a Christian and you want to do what your Father says in heaven, especially when it comes to these pagan rituals that people call Christmas holidays or Easter holidays or whatever, this is what the Lord said here in Deuteronomy 12. It says, "When the Lord thy God shall cut off the nations from before thee, whither thou goest to possess them, and thou succeedest them, and dwellest in their land," because, you know, when they're going around spreading taking up the land as promised, you know, with the promised land and all that. He says, "Take heed to thyself that thou be not snared by following them, after that they be destroyed from before thee, and that thou inquire not after their gods, saying, How did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. Thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God, for every abomination to the Lord which he hateth hath they done unto their gods. For even their sons and their daughters they have burnt in the fire to their gods. What things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto or diminish from it." In closing, after hearing what the Lord has revealed to his people in his word and in historic record regarding Christmas, anyone that listened to both sermons and understand the plainness of the facts laid out would then be an open sin if they hear all that will be declared here and still choose to disobey the Lord so as to bow to Satan. And no, I'm not saying this is what you're doing or your loved ones are doing, unless, of course, they know it's paganism and choose to do it anyway. Our God winks at our times of ignorance, and so if you honestly don't know it's sin, then you're not in sin when you do it. But if after hearing the scripture and the historic reasons for all the aspects of Christmas, if you choose this day to continue in these things, then you will have no cloak of ignorance to hide under when judged on this basic biblical truth. For the God of the Bible can read your heart, and you will then be held accountable when either the plagues come or you breathe your last. For it is plainly stated in Acts chapter 17:30 that the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. I hope and pray that you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day.